You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I've been a-searching all this big wide world. Now finally I've found mine.
If it's not the best music of all time ever made, I can guarantee you I've got a collection of some of the best women ever made, and they're all for you tonight here on TPC's very special Valentine's Day broadcast. You've already heard from my wife and dissident mama, Rebecca, herself at dissidentmama.net. We've got Kim now with us, and when Sam called Kim, Sam is producing the show tonight, Sam Bushman, and he came into my headset and he said, "Kim's there and she's the best." And he's not lying. When Kim came on the show last year for the first time, now I've known Kim since before the show started. I've known her family since before the show started. And going back a few fortnights now, to be sure, many moons.
For sure.
And when Kim came on the show last year for the first time on Valentine's Day, I told her after the show, I said, "You stole the show tonight." And she's come on with us a time or two since then, and she's back with us tonight, the one-year anniversary of your debut appearance. Kim, how are you?
Hey, James. Thanks for having me on. And what's funny is I'm taking notes here, and I have my note at the top says, "Sam is awesome!" Exclamation, exclamation.
I tell you what, talent is attracted to talent. What can I say?
Yeah, just such a positive person and encouraging, and always encourages me. Every time, even if I just talk to him for about 30 seconds, like he just has a good spirit. So.
Well, I like to surround myself with people like that. So, you know, Danny's here with us tonight, Kim. Danny was nodding. As I said, you're the best. So, Danny, I know you want to say a little real quick before we get Kim going.
You know I'm a big fan.
Now, but, Kim, when you said the word lamb in your text message last night.
Oh, it melted me. Oh, my goodness. I was like, I'm going to pack my bag right now. I'm going to bottle feed this lamb.
Yeah, so people, we're getting into inside information here, so the greater audience isn't going to know what we're talking about. But Kim said, "Tell Danny we've got lambs." And I told Danny lambs, and she says, "Tell Kim I'm packing." So we try to get over to
I'm ready. You say it. I'm on the way.
You know, hey, well, we've had 13 of them, so I can always use an extra hand to bottle feed or to help deliver. If you want to help,
yes,
if you want to be a you midwife,
I would be honored.
It can be a little stressful at times if you don't know what's going on, but
prepared for that.
Yeah, and well, you know, and we've dropped these lambs, of course, in winter, and there's a reason why people say you have spring lambs, and that's because you're supposed to have them in spring. So we've been shuffling our little hobby farm around here just to try to keep all the animals warm. And so we have a lot of babies and mamas in our shop right now so that they don't die.
Wow.
Well, so here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing. Kim sent this message the other day, and it was a picture of a lamb on her couch being bottle fed by one of her children, her many children. And I want to just say, this is
it's just the sweetest picture.
Well, this is where it's at, and this is what we brought Kim on to talk about. So we're not gonna go into any more behind the scenes stuff. Let me just tell you that Kim is a homeschooling, home churching, homesteading mother of five, and she mentioned they have this hobby farm. Well, it's a lot more than that. I mean, she's being modest. It is an incredible thing what she and her husband have built together.
Yes.
I think, and I know Danny would agree, my wife would agree, as our youngest here, Caroline, echoes in. They are the model family. They are the family that we should all strive to be. So, it wasn't always that way. Now, yes, Kim and her husband were always the model, but they weren't always where they are now. I mean, they started out, they moved interstate to a place away from where their roots were to create this reality, to buy their children another generation or two, as her husband put it to me. Homeschooling, home churching, homesteading. How did you do it, Kim?
Very slowly. And I guess that would be my advice for anybody listening that has that dream, is that sometimes you want everything the next day. I mean, I'm like that. I want everything right then. But yeah, when we first got married, you know, we lived in a house in a little neighborhood, but we always had the dream of, you know, just getting out. There's something in our souls that just wanted us to be, you know, a little bit out of town and have a few chickens and that sort of thing. So as we stacked on children, we kind of stacked on projects and got the chickens and got the dog and kept it there for a while and moved states. And we were able to find a piece of property, a foreclosure actually. And we were very fortunate where we were able to, you know, put in a garden and get more chickens. And then we did get into sheep, and now we've expanded and we have some cows. And so we're slowly growing, but it's also has become a little bit easier because I have older children now. That sounds so strange because I feel like I literally just got y'all's wedding invitation in the mail like yesterday, but.
Doesn't it happen like that? Yes, it does.
It's crazy. But the kids do a lot now. And so when they were littler, it was more difficult. And that's what I would say for people that are wanting the dream, you know, to have the hobby farm or to do this or that. If you have little children, give yourself some grace and cut yourself some slack because they are their own job. So if you can only have four chickens and a dog, start there. And if you're too overwhelmed, you know, you don't have to have a herd of cattle. You can just start out slowly. And even if you cannot have those things on your own property, support some friends that have the land and the animals, buy eggs from them, buy raw milk from them. See if you can trade out, even maybe if they're working their farm. Can you watch their kids for a few hours? You know, what can you do to support others that are trying to live the dream while you're getting there?
Well, folks, this is the model. I mean, this is the standard. This is what we're talking about tonight. This is love. I mean, this is a Valentine's Day show. It can't all be about the saccharin. It can't be all about the chemical processes that the brain makes when you find someone you're attracted to. It has to be about the eternal. It has to be about family. That's what we're all working towards. That's what's going to save us. And I'm trying to bring to you tonight ladies who are living this life, and their husbands and their families are living this life. And so, again, I met Kim and her husband before they were ever even married. And so I know that they moved from one state to another, and they bought a multi-acre property, and they started this from scratch. But they realized it. That's the thing. It can happen. And if it can happen for them, it can happen for you. What one man can do, another can do. And we'll talk more about Kim, an inspiration to me, her family, her sister, her husband, her kids, inspirations to me, great friends, family friends. And I'm so thankful that she agreed to be on with us tonight, this Valentine's Day weekend. We'll be back with her right after this.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let it be known that Kim, as I do, loves the Everly Brothers. Now, she really, I'm sure, probably would have preferred Let It Be Me be the song we play tonight of the Everly Brothers. But you can't, Kim, tell me if I'm wrong. Can you go wrong with, play it, Sam. Now, can you go wrong with Till I Kiss You by the Everly Brothers?
Okay, I have to say that is a great song, but it's funny you should mention that. I was thinking today of Valentine's Day. I always think that Let It Be Me is the best Valentine's song, and I've you know, but I have been singing along to the others, so there's a lot of good love songs.
Well, I thought about playing Let It Be Me because you have made that comment to me before, but, you know, we gotta toggle the playlist sometime. It's like you told me you were joking with me over Christmas that we play the same playlist every year for Christmas. Well, after 16 years, we've got it perfected, so why would we change it?
Well, we didn't I know. I didn't say I didn't like it. It's good stuff.
That's right. But you did get an Everly Brothers song, so we gotta be sure that we did that. I wanted to be sure to do that with you, and so that's why that's a great song. I love that song.
It is. For
well,
sure.
As I mentioned a moment ago, folks, I met Kim, her sister, and the great friend of mine who would become her husband before he was even her husband years ago, even before we started the political cesspool. That's how long we go back with this particular family. Kim, I could tell the story, but what do you remember about that?
A lot less wrinkles, you know, just meeting you, it just feels kind of like yesterday, and getting to meet Danny, I think, a few years later. And one thing I was going to say about Danny that I was so struck with, her just Southern attitude. I brought you guys some vegetables from our garden, and y'all came into the hotel room, and the floor was really just, it wasn't the best hotel room, and I went to go hand Danny
I remember
the bag of vegetables, and all the vegetables fell through the bag, hit the floor, hit this nasty floor, and I was like, they're going to burn these and bury them in the backyard. And Danny was so gracious. She picked up all the vegetables and said, no, it's fine, these are wonderful, and just, she really put me at ease. I felt so embarrassed, but, you know, she just handled that so graciously, and just, it's been a wonderful friendship ever since.
It has been, and listen, I mean, Sam is complimenting your commentary tonight with some special effect. Well, why not, Sam? Just crank it up just for a second. There it is. Give it the kick.
Yep.
Well, this goes back to the thing, Kim, is that we go back a long time. I can remember the first visit you and your husband made to our home after Danny and I became a married couple. And we still joke about a couple of the books you found in my or that we found on my bookshelf. One was the Bible. So that's
important. One was the Bible, but, for sure.
We won't mention the other one. But in any event, I remember that hotel, by the way, and I still pass that hotel from time to time. And every time I pass that hotel that y'all stayed at on that particular visit, which I think you may have only had one child at that time. That was four children ago, or at least three. I mean, it was a while back. I still think of y'all every time I pass that hotel. So that had to mean something.
Yeah.
But rather than continuing on these stories that the larger audience can't share or remember, let's get back to the topic at large, which is the fact, and we brought this up with Dissident Mama, when this dystopia fades away, the family will be the building block upon which we resurrect our society and our civilization. And so it is so important now that we have models, that we have standards, that we have people actually doing it. It needs to be theory, not practice. Y'all are doing it. Y'all went from a couple who were dating, then became married, then moved across the country, and you started this life, a life of homeschooling, home churching, homesteading. We've talked a little bit about the homeschooling and homesteading already. It's just so incredible to me, though, how y'all were able to do this. Just two normal people, and I mean that in the most respectful way possible, but y'all did it. But the home churching, too, I mean, it's all there at the home. It's nuclear, but you have a wider support group that you share fellowship with. But let's talk a little bit about that, Kim. I mean, I know you made notes coming into tonight's show, and we only have just a few minutes remaining, and we've talked a lot about behind-the-scenes stuff, but let's get to the stuff you wanted to share with the audience with the 3 or 4 minutes we have left with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I just have a few notes of encouragement here. I would say the first thing I've written down is just have a spouse with a similar vision. If you have a vision and your spouse is pulling in the other direction, it is going to be difficult. I'm very fortunate. My husband, he loves to work. It was 5 degrees this morning, and he still went outside at 10 a.m. and worked all day till dark. He didn't get hypothermia. He's still with us, but you know, he shares that vision, and it's going to take, you know, both people. If you do want to have a place outside of the city, you need to decide on what you want. If your wife is a super extrovert, don't move 4 hours away from the nearest town of 1,000 people and lock her up in a log cabin. She might think it's cool for the first few months, but it might start to get to her. So, you know, come to a happy medium and try to find something where you'll both be happy. I would say, too, really, if you have the vision today because of housing prices and land prices, which are right now just ballooning, in my opinion, if you can save and wait a few years, I feel like they are going to correct, and you might be able to find a super deal and you know, really try to, on that vision, to think about how will this vision look on one income. If you live, you know, outside of a large city, that might not be possible. You might have to move states. I know that's not possible for everybody with work and, you know, just different life circumstances. But if you cannot afford land where you're at, you know, you might want to reconsider. And you might have to consider a place that, you know, isn't, you know, that you might not want to vacation to, like Kansas. No offense to anybody that lives in Kansas, but, you know, you might be able to find more affordable land in, say, somewhere like Iowa or Kansas. Or so those are just a few thoughts that are practical. And like I said, start out small. Look on YouTube for people that can encourage you with having a garden. Probably a lot of your listeners are familiar with Jill Salatin. There's a wonderful YouTube blogger, and she has a videos. It's called Farmhouse on Boone. Danny would love this lady. She's amazing. You know, Baker Creek Seed Company, Doug and Stacy Off Grid. These are just, you know, some things people can look into just to encourage you, give you practical resources. You know, for now, just, I know YouTube is really going to pot with, you know, kicking off content creators, but they still do have some good resources there. So I would start there and just work towards it slowly, James. It can be done, and remember, your life is short, so, you know, just start working every day towards that vision of a happy home life.
I don't know it. I'm 40 now, and it seems as though time is only speeding up. Kim, listen, I hope I didn't waste too much of our time with personal recollections tonight, because you have so much important things to say. And I appreciate you for sharing them tonight, and we'll have you back on in short order. My best to you, to your husband, to your family. We love y'all. We'll talk again.
Thank you so much, James.
Using the Constitution as our guide, you're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Senate is now voting on whether to convict Donald Trump for insurrection on January 6th. The lead attorney for former President Trump, Michael Vanderveen, gave his closing arguments.
With your vote, you can defend the Constitution, you can protect due process, and you can allow America's healing to begin. I urge the Senate to acquit and vindicate the Constitution of this great republic.
And the closing arguments for House Impeachment Manager Jamie Raskin.
We're defending the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House against a president who acted no better than a marauder and a member of that mob by inciting those people to come here. And in many ways, he was worse. He named the date, he named the time, and he brought them here, and now he must pay the price.
This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
There are now calls for the governor of New York to resign after his top aide admitted they withheld information about the number of coronavirus deaths among nursing home patients. Secretary to the governor, Melissa DeRosa, was on a call with the legislators this week. She said the Cuomo administration panicked over worries the actual number of nursing home deaths was going to be, quote, used against us after the Federal Department of Justice demanded the information. Recently, the state was forced to admit the death toll was 15,000, nearly double what had been reported. In January, Governor Cuomo was trying to defend the lower numbers.
It's not about pointing fingers or blame. It's that this became a political football.
He also said,
whether a person died in a hospital or died in a nursing home, it's the People die.
Republicans are accusing the governor of a cover-up and want him to resign. You're listening to USA Radio News.
A continued happy Valentine's Day weekend to you as I present to this listening audience the best half dozen women we could find for you. Not just the best we could find, but the best that there are. And I say that with no uncertainty. The ladies that we are featuring tonight are the best I've ever met in my life. And if they are the best I've ever met in my life, they're worthy of this wider audience. Fantastic ladies from top to bottom. In every way, every standard of measurement, a lady can be fantastic. This is the group we have brought for you this evening. And now continuing in that tradition is Megan, the Dixie Belle herself. Megan is a Georgia-grown, Florida-flourished, 24-year-old Christian wife and mother. And she's with us. Megan, thanks for being back on TPC tonight.
Hey, James, thank you so much for having me. I've decided if I ever need to feel better about myself, I will just call you up, because that was very flattering. Y'all are too sweet.
Well, I can certainly do it, but you and your husband, just as Kim and her husband, and well, I could say that about Janice and her husband, and Rebecca and Courtney, everybody appearing tonight, y'all have certainly made an impression on me as well, and that is, of course, why I wanted to reach out to you, and I appreciate y'all for accepting the invitation. And the Dixie Belle herself, Megan, has a blog that you should follow, a Twitter that you should follow, and we have her linked to our promotional tweet there at the top of my handle, at James Edwards TPC. But Megan, there was there's so many things we could talk to you about, but a couple of the things that I wanted to talk to you about specifically was dating. Dating leading to marriage, and you have at your blog a couple of articles about finding the right man and finding the right woman that I thought we should specifically highlight. So where should we begin?
Oh, there's so much. I've probably made enough notes that I could fill you a couple hours, but I know we don't have all that long, so definitely I really appreciate if anybody wants better details on all this, please go to that last article, and it'll direct you to the other one that I wrote on it, because it's kind of a two-part article on it. And I feel honored for you to ask my opinion on this stuff. I'm really fascinated with it. I feel like it's definitely been something life-changing that I'm so thankful to have found the knowledge on, the wisdom on, at the right time and in time. I feel like not qualified to talk about this in a way, since I am so young. But I'm so blessed too, at the age that I am, to be where I'm at. So any way that I can help anybody else get there with what I've learned, I am more than happy to do that. So I'm trying to think where to start. The last article in particular was written more, because I seem to have a lot of men asking what to do to attract women and how to find women, how to find the right person. Like, I giggled a little bit. I did catch the tail end of Kim there. I haven't been able to jump on from the beginning, but I caught the tail end of Kim saying, you just have to find a partner that thinks the same way. And I'm like, of course, if you could do that, it's perfect. And she didn't mean it in a bad way at all, of course. But that is, like, if you can just find somebody that's on the same page, oh, my gosh, everything's so much easier. So the task of doing that, that is a big task. And I am just always trying to pull my inspiration from what the Bible says. And I don't want to get too flowery on anybody since it's men trying to look for this advice. But that's really the most hardcore advice there is the Bible. So it shouldn't be too flowery. But Matthew 7:7 is really the best advice I can think of, where it says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. You really just have to be seeking and searching in a godly way. And if your intentions are pure and true, then I don't see how God wouldn't want to bless you in a wholesome search like that. So it's really just going about it the right way. James, yours and Danny's story is so beautiful. I didn't get to hear Danny. I hope that she talked about it. I will go back and watch the whole thing later.
Oh, she did. Don't you worry there, Megan. She did.
So that's a wonderful example. And I talked a little bit last time I was with y'all about me and my husband's journey, how we met. I was 16. He was 21. And it was an unlikely way that we would have like met and just hit it off, but it really worked. Even though I wasn't on the same mind frame with him on a lot of things in the very beginning, it worked because he was just very confident and consistent and didn't like waver about his beliefs. He was just like, he was very just straightforward about things. And that's some of the best advice that my parents gave. This is for men and women right here. Is to just put all the cards out on the table as soon as possible. And I know that's like what everybody wants to do the opposite of. Friends that tell me dating stuff, like Marshall's the only person that I've ever dated, first kiss, first everything. And so I hear all these stories from friends that are still playing the dating game and stuff. And really, that everybody wants to do the opposite of putting all the cards on the table, like explaining everything about like where you're both wanting to go with things, because they don't want to scare somebody away. But it really saves so much heartache, because it hurts me when I see friends that I care so much about, like, get emotionally attached to somebody, and it doesn't work out, and good stuff finally comes up. And so really, if somebody else is serious, too, and looking for the right things, you're not going to scare them off by laying everything out and just really being open about where you want to go with things.
Well, Danny chimed in there on that one, Megan. You know, you said something. I've known you and your husband for years now, and didn't know exactly the age difference and the ages in which you met. Hang on, we got a little echo. Turn off your mic for a second. Danny was 16 and I was 21.
I know, it was almost the exact same story.
Exactly the same story. And you write about that in your blog, and you write about that, and this is something that's so important. A man's job is to impress. I'm reading from your writing right now, Megan. At 24 years old, you were younger even when you wrote this. A man's job is to impress and take initiative and lead in the relationship. So you write, look at Mother Nature. It is natural to impress a woman physically and visually, to impress them with confidence, to always be educating them and to be bettering yourselves mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so that's part of the struggle of finding a good woman. You cannot be stagnant. You must always be pursuing women. And that is what men must do. And if we're ever going to take back our nations, if we're ever going to conquer our enemies, we must first conquer our families. And in order to do that, we have to find women, women that we can bring along in a godly way to raise healthy children and families. That is again, we've been talking about that. That's the theme of the night. That's the cornerstone of this awakening, of this reclamation. It must be in the family, but a family cannot truly be realized without a dominant male and a woman on the same page in the home.
That's important, a woman on the same page.
Megan, your thoughts?
Well, that's just, y'all said it so perfectly. It's, y'all are explaining everything for me. You said it so perfectly, because we're on the same page so well. But really, it's the beauty in the husband and wife team. And the beauty and the femininity, beauty and the masculinity, it's the separate, like, beautiful roles that everybody forgets about, and they start soaking up the lies in society, the lies in just disgusting social norms that are spreading, and with the terrible political climate right now, just all this, everybody lets that soak into them more than what is wholesome and true. And no matter how much everything changes, God never changes, and He's the one that created us. So it's never going to change what is ingrained in us that is 100% fail-proof and always going to work. So that's what we have to cling to. And the women have to remember their job as well. And I was going to make a little note to what you're talking about the men taking initiative and leading and all this. You can't be scared too scared and too worried that you're going to, oh, I'll finish that in a minute.
Hey, listen, you don't have to be a radio veteran, Megan, to know when the music starts. Hey, listen, you're better than Keith, actually. Keith's been at this for 16 years, and he doesn't know to stop talking with him. So, hey, stay tuned, everybody. We've got Megan. Megan is with us as Valentine's
Sweet
Day.
Sweet Megan.
Continues tonight. Thank you, Danny. My wife is here with us tonight. Certainly a pleasure and a novelty. We'll be right back.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Every day,
every day,
every day
of the year.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to tell you that my daughter can sing that song word for word, Calendar Girl, and yes, we did raise her right, that's for sure. I am at the Dixie Belles Twitter page right now. If you want to go and follow her, you should. Megan is the Dixie Belle, and she's with us right now. Go to the top of our promo there at James Edwards TPC. Only two of our guests tonight actually have Twitter handles, and that is Dissident Mama and the Dixie Belle. Well, link over and follow the Dixie Belle because she's doing it the right way, and she's one that we need to be following and supporting. And I'm looking at this picture reel of her and her husband back. I mean, Megan, you had to be a teenager in this picture, and it reminds me, your story and your husband's story reminds me so much of my story with my wife. I mean, she was a teenager. I was in my early 20s. And she was out there campaigning for me as I ran for the Tennessee State House of Representatives.
Oh, my gosh, that is so cute.
Danny, what do you remember about those days? No, that's fine. Danny, what do you remember about those days?
You were just so particular about it all. You would give us a stack of leaflets, and we had a list of instructions on exactly how to put it and place it on
the
door.
Do that now.
Exactly what to say. You're very... very particular about everything you do in life, but especially mail outs and anything that has to do with the audience. And you know, I'm just used to it now.
It attracted Danny, did it not?
That's right, that's exactly that's right. The control of the situation, it wasn't something I had to worry about.
So I knew that she would be a default, you know, submissive or being a party, but no, but. She likes that. And
I think most women do.
Women do. Even the feminists that say they don't, they really do. And Megan knows it, and you know it. But no, listen. So we talked earlier, Megan, about how my wife has adjusted and handled every piece of correspondence that's ever come out from this radio program, whether it's a gift bag or a letter or whatever. But even before the radio show was even an idea in my mind, she was out working at a county fair at a booth at a county mm-hmm. fair for my campaign.
A red Elect Edwards shirt with a blue jean skirt.
And she was out passing out pamphlets, and she looked good then, and she still looks good now.
Stop it! You embarrass me.
But anyway, Megan, hey, listen, this is the thing. So, Megan, this is something that you can relate to because I see you and your husband. I remember y'all from those League of the South days back before y'all were even married. Go to that story. Go to that love story. It is Valentine's Day after all. What attracted you to your husband?
Yes, let's hear it.
And let's hear it. We shared a little bit of ours earlier in the program, but not only that. We'll start there, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, really? Just the straightforwardness, and just so like outgoing and brave, and just didn't seem like shy to take initiative, and just was so like. And it was one of the, I'll share all the juicy details. It was one of those situations where I come from a family of nine, actually, and we both distinctly remember my father. We both distinctly remember my father introducing Marshall to my older sister and saying, "This is my oldest daughter, Jess." And then we just all laugh and we tell the story because we're like, "And it didn't work out like that," because it was just like our personalities just hit it off right away and just.
I joke about that with Danny. All the Duggar girls, I was like, well, this one's really cute. And she's like the oldest. Why is she not married? You know, but so, I mean, sometimes when you know, and so he knew with you. And so it didn't matter the pecking order. There you were. And I think there are so many similarities between you and my wife. And I'm looking at this, a juxtaposed picture of you and her on the promo for tonight's show, along with Dissident Mama. But there's so, you know, even though there's a few years removed, there is so much similarities. And it goes back to what you were talking about with regard to this is something, listen, if the family is the building block of civilization, which we know it to be, We have to make sure we're getting it right with our mates and with our spouses and with those with whom we build a family. And
James, I just thought of something. I hate to butt in,
go. No,
before
go ahead.
I forget, I feel like maybe I don't want the listeners to think we put too much emphasis on the male being older and the woman being younger, and like that's the only way it can work, or if that's the best way it works. It does seem to work easier that way, but I think the theme that really needs to stand out here is that maybe that seemed to work so like great and fast and wonderful for Danny and I, because generally when the woman's younger, she's going to have a more submissive attitude, and that is how that's the ordinance of the family. That's how God created things, and so that's why it works so incredibly well. But the woman could even be a little older than the man or the same age, and it work well if she is embracing that feminine spirit and that submissive role.
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, that's a little bit of an anomaly, but it could certainly happen that way, and it can happen that way if you're of the right mindset, and that is an important message to be brought to the audience tonight. But I think the way yours truly and your husband did it was the right way. And
You don't want a woman to lose hope just because she's a little older.
That's right.
I think that's a very important...
Well, thank you, Megan, for that. And that's true. But let's get back to it. So we have single men and single women tonight of all age groups who are looking for that special someone. They're looking to make a connection and looking to pair up to form a family that can help us defeat our common foe and to build a civilization worth remembering. How do they do it? Now, obviously, you come from a particular story, so does my wife. But what is a truth for all age groups? How can people find mates that match?
Well, just going about it the godly way. I'm not sure if you want me to really aim more at men seeking or women seeking, but I do want to put this plug in really fast for an amazing pastor that has all this just so put together. If anybody this would be wonderful for men or women. Just to put this in before I run out of time, Pastor John Weaver, he's on Audio Sermon and YouTube, and he has an amazing 12-part series called The Family, and it's about the ordinance of the family, and it is just amazing. I've listened to it at least two or three times. Marshall and I listened to it before we got engaged. We listened to it right before we got married. And it's just so helpful. There's so much packed in there. So Pastor John Weaver, and you can look him up on Audio Sermon or YouTube.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned him. He's been a guest on our program before. He's one of the great Southern theologians and Southern statesmen. And John Weaver, Pastor John Weaver, is a name that should be in the minds and in the hearts of everyone listening to this program tonight. Thank you, Megan, for bringing that up.
You're very welcome. Another thing I wanted to talk about, it seems we might have time to get into it. Since it's Valentine's Day, I was thinking about just what is love, because I think we have that, some people have that just kind of hallmarked in their mind, I guess, and we have to kind of like dive deeper into what love actually is to each other. And if you look at the Bible, for example, there's so many verses explaining that to love the Lord is to obey him. And so naturally that you can find it everywhere else, just down the line, to love your husband is to obey him, to love your children. There's certain standards for that. You want to discipline your children, not just give them everything they want and let them get away with everything and think that that is love, because, of course, you'd be doing them a misfortune for the future, just really not setting them up very well if you did not discipline them. And something that came to my mind that I thought was just really interesting, talking about masculine men and feminine submissive women, is I can't think of the verse off the top of my head. And I wrote all these notes, and now I'm having trouble getting to them and scrolling, holding the phone, because I'm trying to nurse the baby at the same time. So I've had it somewhere in here. But there's this verse that struck me lately that's talking about how it is a blessing, basically, to be reproved and chastised by the Lord. Like, we wouldn't want him to let us go astray. So that is a blessing. And so many Christian women recognize that really easily. But even Christian women, for some reason, they're not as quick to recognize that their husband being submissive to their husband having to correct them at times, or just him being the dominant figure in the family all the time, whether they agree or not. they're a lot more hesitant to embrace that, but it's just I thought that was interesting that we can see that example of how if we really truly love the Lord, we will obey him, we'll also obey his ordinance and his commandments that he set up just down the line. And another thing I wanted to mention while we're talking about families and growing families and getting together, once we've gotten that far, somebody finding somebody, I would say our two little ones are almost 16 months apart. And just with all that's going on in the world, I would dare say it is love to have more children rather than less. I'm sure that you could go on with that. That's right.
Yeah, I'm 40 now, and I can say that. You're 24. Megan, you're beautiful on the inside out. I am an admirer of yours and your husband and of your family. Thank you for being with us tonight. I was actually on an interview a couple of nights ago, and I said I marvel how people paid attention to what I was saying at 24 years old, but I know why they paid attention.